wonderful time to be here this week. I was driving through on this road, and I told my wife, man, as soon as we get here, I mean, the day we get here, the next day, I should say, we're driving through, and I'm just like, you're just driving through here, and all of a sudden, it's just, wow, it's so relaxing around here. It's just amazing. The stress just leaves your body. You just feel right, like, this something feels right about this. What's going on? You know, you're in California, and any of you that have been in the city life or lived in the city, you just feel like you're just in a constant state of, like, moving. Like, something is, you feel busy when you're not even busy. That's just what the city life brings, right? You just feel busy, and you're not even busy sometimes. And you come out here, and all of a sudden, it's just like, whoa, what in the world? That's crazy. We're driving, we went to the Walmart up here, and my wife tells me, we go to leave Walmart, and I'm sure you all know the directions around here. It's not really hard. But this one street here gets you all the way, you know, where you need to go. And I learned that the first time I visited here, and figured that out real quick. But we're at the Walmart, and she tells me, oh no, you can take Lone Tree, and we're going to the Levi's house. And she said, you can take Lone Tree. And I'm forgetting that the road bends in the city there, in the town of Linton there. This road, it bends there. And I forget, I'm like, how can you take Lone Tree and get to the same place? This road, I'm like, doesn't this take you right to Levi's house? She's like, yeah, but this one is faster and everything. And I'm like, why? This road gets you straight there. Why would we need to take another road? And she's like, well, to bypass all the traffic. Oh, man, I about lost it. I'm like, the traffic? You kidding me? She's like, okay, yeah, that I can see that sounds funny now. The traffic, but that's the life out here, right? The traffic's right there in town. You got three people in front of you. Like, what? Come on, move already. You got one light, and you're like, come on, what's going on? Man, the country life. I love it. It's good. I could say that it would be, it's hard to get to this. When you get to the city, it was hard for my wife. I mean, she's taken her many years to be comfortable driving around, and just, you know, even still by herself, she's like, no, I don't feel comfortable. And so I'm like, all right. But around here, I can see, no wonder you're not very comfortable in the city. Driving past one car every, like, 3 minutes. We're living at Lynette's house there. And there's a train track that passes there. I'm taking all my time here. I got to hurry up. There's a train track that passes there, and we can hear it every time a car passes. And so you time it, like, every 3 minutes or so, every couple minutes. So that's how it's crazy busy. Anyway. I love it. I'm joking, but I love it. I love it around here. And I would pick this over going to, like, Cancun or something, because it's just like, you know, I get her to come here. It's like, relax. So it's nice. It's nice. Thank you, Lynette and Mike, for letting us stay at your place there. Very relaxing, and all the accommodations, all the snacks. Appreciate the snacks. So thank you for that. Take your Bibles, if you would, with me, and go to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. We'll read a few verses here, and then we'll move over to another passage after we pray. John chapter number 4, verse number 1. I'll jump right into it. The Bible says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus under the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Let's pray and we'll get started tonight. Dear Lord, I pray you'd be with me tonight. I pray that you would help me to get out of the way, help me to preach what you'd have me to preach, Lord. I thank you for the privilege to stand behind this pulpit and preach your word at this tent meeting, Lord, to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I just pray that you would help the message, Lord, to come through. I pray you help it to draw decisions, Lord. And once again, be with me as well in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles one more time. Go to Psalms chapter number 34. Psalm chapter 34. Psalm 34 and verse. We'll read a few verses here and then we'll jump right in. Psalm 34 verse 1 through verse 8. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. This evening I want to preach a message off of this verse here. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now I got an illustration that will really help this idea tonight. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now this church has definitely tasted and seen that the Lord is good. 50 years now. Seeing God work and God move, you've seen the goodness of God. Amen. And in your own lives personally, and then in this church as well. I want to use an illustration tonight with my brother. I'm gonna let you know who he is real quick with this illustration. This will tell you a little bit about him. What you're getting into, yes. Brother AJ is my brother AJ. I tell the teenagers brother AJ, and it sounds funny for me because it's my brother AJ. Anyway, you'll get that. Brother AJ sounds funny. All right, move on. Brother AJ loves food, all right? You will learn that really quick. He loves food, not just any food, though. He loves unique food. And if we live in California in an area where, I mean, there's unlimited everything. Just, you can, you name it. Brother AJ, I can have him come up here and he could just name off all the foreign type of food that he likes to eat. There's this food called pho. Anybody like pho? Raise your hand. Anybody know what pho is? Raise your hand. All right. Good. We're in Indiana. Praise the Lord. He likes pho. It's a, some type of soup. It's Asian. Vietnamese. All right. He loves pho. He loves sushi. Who likes sushi? Raise your hand. You like sushi? All right. Good. I'm in my crowd. All right. All right. These are things I don't like, just so we're clear. All right. He likes sushi. He likes all the oysters, like slurping those things out. I don't understand it. I can't take that. All right. He likes those oysters. He likes all the seafood that you can think of. All right. And I'm sure some of you are like that. All right. And I'm not saying that that's weird. I am saying that's weird. Sorry. It is very weird. All right. Anything that's raw, I don't understand how you eat it. It's like pink. You just cut it off the meat and it's just like, you're just going to eat that. That's what bears do, right? Anyway, that's what God made the animals to do, right? He's like, they don't have ovens and stoves and, you know, all that to make cook the food. But Brother AJ loves that. And anyway, moving on. Brother AJ, though, when he tries something, he has to tell me. And he has to make sure that I possibly will try it too. Yeah. And this is how he does it. All right. He'll come to me and he'll say, Bro,
Yeah.
You've got to try this. Yeah. This will change your life. Has anybody ever been told that? All right? This will change your life. I mean, like, is it really going to change my life? No, but that's how it comes across, right? It'll change your life. And everything that he eats is going to change my life. You know how many times my life would be changed if I ate everything that he wanted me to eat? I don't think I'd be standing here today. But anyway, Brother AJ, he's got a bunch of guys in the church that do the same thing now. They're all on board with that, and they'll try those crazy things that I should have been born out here, because my wife, you know, it's more plain, you know, just simple, you know, food. That's, I'm good with that. Just keep it American, you know, keep it American. I'm good. Hamburger, you know, corn on the cob, and some mashed potatoes. Give me some meat, right? It doesn't have to be raw, okay? Cook that thing, right? But Brother AJ wants to change my life with all that meat and all the foreign stuff. And so I've tried a lot of it, and I can tell you this, I will try something, most pretty much anything, one time, because, you know, we have to teach our kids, you know, how do you know you don't like it, right? You got to try it. And so I've had to do that. I've tried things. I've tried sushi many times. I've tried octopus, and let me tell you, octopus tastes exactly like what you think it would taste like. Like rubber, all right? Nasty rubber, all right? I had to try that, all right? It changed my life in a different way, but, all right? But I've tried sushi. I've tried sushi more than once. And a few of the different types of sushi that they've tried to give me, I liked. It was the fried kind. That makes sense, right? It was fried, and I liked it, and I started like, oh, man, maybe I like sushi. Wow. This is awesome. You know, I can relate now. And then they start to give me something that is, you know, raw and pink. And I'm like, all right, I'll try it. Here we go. And while they're talking, and whoever's at the table talking, I'll try it. And it's everything in my body to get that thing down my throat. But I've done it. And it changed my life. All right. But the idea behind this is that he comes to me with that and says, you gotta try it. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Amen. Tonight I want to preach a message entitled, Try It, It'll Change Your Life. Amen. Try it, it'll change your life. Amen. In this passage, that verse in Luke here, John, sorry. Like we weren't in Luke. In John, I have to find it again, sorry. John chapter number 4, if you lost it too. John 4, she said here, or he said unto her, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Right. This is how I think of when Brother AJ tells me something that I should try. He usually comes at it like, bro, and usually, for me, this is how I am. I'm usually like, no, I'm good. I don't need to try it. He'll have to tell me a few times. You know, bro, no, for real, bro, you gotta try this. You gotta try it. No, for real, bro. I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't want to try it, right? And he'll just keep pushing and pressing you. And finally, you know, you might, I'll try it, you know. Most of the time, he's thinking, though, bro, if you knew how good this was, I wouldn't be telling you to try it. You'd be asking me for some of my food, right? You'd be asking me. And that's how we are sometimes when we eat something good, right? We're just like, you got to try this, bro. And then they don't want to try it. And then we're thinking, bro, if you only knew what I had, look at you got a hot dog over there. Dude, if you only knew what this tastes like, this is what many, many times I'll try the simple thing. You know, we go somewhere visiting. We went down to LA recently for a tournament, and they decide every time to go to something, you know, foreign or something that's unique. And I'll go to Chick-fil-A, you know, that's good. It's never failed me. Chick-fil-A. In-N-Out, you don't have In-N-Out out here. In-N-Out, I'm good with that. I don't need to change, you know. But they got to try that new stuff. And I'm like, all right. And so they make me think that mine ain't that good. But then they're like, bro, if you only knew how good this tasted, bro, you would be asking me for some of this, right? And I think about that with this lady. If you only knew, that's what Jesus said, if you only knew what I had, the kind of water that I have, you'd be asking me.
Yeah.
And I think about that in verse 13 and 14. Look at verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He's talking about her water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting water. If you keep drinking the water you're drinking, he says, you're never going to be satisfied. You're going to constantly be thirsty. It'll never be satisfying for you. But if you drink the water that I have for you, you'll never want anything else in your life. It'll satisfy the rest of your life if you just understand this. I think about this. You keep living life the way you're living, you'll never be satisfied. You keep living life the way that you think it should be lived, you're never going to be satisfied.
That's right.
But if you try and you say, you know what, like this lady did, you say, I'll try it. Fine, I'll try it. I'll jump in. I know what I'm normally like, and this is me. I'll go to the same place and get the same thing every time.
Yeah.
Every time, and I don't have a problem with it. If I didn't have Brother AJ around, I'd get the same thing every time. And until he tells me that something else is good at that place, and I should try that, I probably won't try anything else. Because I just like to stay with the same thing. But, and I'm using myself big time here in this illustration, we have to get to a point in our lives as Christians, as those who serve the church, we just get stuck.
Yeah.
You don't get stuck in a vein where you say, I don't do that. That's not something I usually do. You get too normal, and I've been my whole life grown up in it from, you know, kindergarten all the way up, and from a baby, I should say. And we can get to a vein where we just say, you know what? I don't do that. I don't go on the bus route. I don't teach. I don't sing. I don't sing in specials. I don't sing in the choir. That's not me. And this is how I am with my brother with food. I say, I'm not like that. That's not what I'm like. I've had to learn to change and figure out, oh, all right, I'll try it. I'll adapt to it. I'll see if I can change my ways with that. And I'll tell you this, there's been many, definitely more than half of the things that I've tried with the foods that he's had me try, where I say, wow. That's amazing. Why wasn't I trying that before? Why didn't I think of trying that, right? Illustration here. They just gave me a popsicle recently, and I don't eat much fruit. And I mean, I eat a lot of fruit. I don't eat much ice cream or sweets and all that kind of stuff. I went over to my brother-in-law's house, and they got these popsicles from Costco. And I don't know if anybody goes to Costco, but they got these popsicles that are like fruit-flavored. And they're telling me, hey, you got to try one of these. And I'm over their house, and once again, I'm like, I'm good. I don't need one. And they're like, no, for real. You gotta try one of these. It'll change your life. Right? And I'm like, okay. All right. I'll try it. For once, finally, it really changed my life. All right. And this was like a week ago. I tried this popsicle, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what is this? This is amazing. Like no other popsicle I've ever had in my life. You'll have to try them. I'll tell you what they're like later. But the idea behind that is if I keep living, I keep doing the things that I keep saying, you know what? I'm good. I don't need it. I never will experience what he's experienced. I will never taste what he has tasted. And what he says is, oh my goodness, this is amazing. You gotta try this. If I don't try it, I don't experience it. If you keep living the life that you're living, whether it is you're stuck in a vein, you're stuck doing something, and you've been told many times, hey, man, you got to try this. You got to try. Or a pastor asks you, hey, would you be willing to teach a class? Maybe it's been open, available for you many years, and it's just been shut down. Maybe it's singing in a choir. Maybe it's singing in a special music, and you just keep shutting it down. You just keep saying no. Maybe it's going soul winning. I don't know what it might be, but I wonder if there's someone here sitting here tonight on the verge of doing something for God, But it's like when I think about trying that new food that I normally would try, and I say, you know what, I'm good. And you say, I don't do that. That's not me. I wonder if there's someone here tonight that's just too scared. Too scared to get out of their comfort zone.
Right.
I like being in comfort zone, especially with food, right? I like comfort zone. And we have comfort zone with many areas of life.
Yes. Right.
And church is one of them.
That's right.
Soul winning, it brings us out of our comfort zone.
Right.
I would say everybody. I hope everybody. It's a hard thing. And so coming out of your comfort zone, whatever. But I can tell you tonight, it can be scary. It can be fearful. But God wants to be there with you every step of the way.
Right.
God wants to, if He's going to convict your heart to want to do something different in your life, it could be something for you young people where God's going to call you to do something amazing. He's going to call you to be a missionary. He's going to call you to be a pastor. He's going to call you to go to Bible college. He's going to call you to do something amazing with your life. But you can't be the type that says, oh, that's not me. That's not me. Are you willing to try it? I promise you, you try it, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. But here's the thing. She couldn't, when this young lady, when she was told by God, and Jesus was able to lead her to the Lord through that, and I don't want to read all the verses there, but He told her to go call the husband and all that, and he pretty much made Himself known that He was Jesus, He was the Messiah to her, right? She got saved, and immediately, well, first of all, I think of what she said here when He told her about that living water. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, give me this water, right? Immediately, she was convinced. She was convinced she had to have it.
Right.
And you have to be convinced that whatever God's got for you is going to be better than what you're doing now. It's going to be so beyond whatever you have in mind for your life. You have to just be willing to say, all right, God, I'll try it.
Amen.
I know what I normally do. I know what I think I'm like and what I want to do with my life. But Lord, I'm willing to let go of what I like, what comfort zone that I like to be in. I'll try it.
Good.
I promise you try it, it'll change your life. But here's the thing. Now this woman went and started telling other people. She tried to tell other people what had happened to her.
Right.
And she went and told, and she started telling these men, she tried telling anybody. She said, you got to tell, she should come and see what God did for me. Come and see. You got to try this. Just like Brother AJ, you got to try this. You got to understand. And she can convince, and she was trying to tell them everything that happened to her. But can I tell you tonight, she couldn't do anything for them. They had to try it for themselves. They had to do it, and they had to experience it for themselves. It wasn't good enough that she did it. It wasn't good enough for them that she experienced it in her own heart. They had to experience it for themselves.
Right.
Listen, I can tell you tonight that the Christian life is the best life in the whole world. I can tell you that. I can tell you that, but you have to experience it. You have to try it. And I promise you, it'll change your life. If you're here tonight and you're saying, young people, teenagers, you're on the brink of hitting 18 or you're 16, 17, you're about ready to leave home, and you got big decisions to make, I can tell you right now, I promise you right now, you live for God, you try this thing, it'll change your life.
That's right.
And it'll be the biggest thing you'll ever do in your life. The end of that verse, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You put your trust in God, let God have your life. I promise you, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. I can tell you tonight that there ain't nothing better than serving Jesus. I can tell you that. But you have to try it. I can tell you that it's the greatest joy ever to lead someone to the Lord.
Right.
But it ain't good enough for you.
Right.
You have to try it for yourself.
Yes, come on.
I promise you it'll change your life.
Yes.
You lead somebody to the Lord and you get out there and you get the courage and get bold enough to go and knock on somebody's door and have the faith that God wants you to do that. God will change your life and you'll never go back. I promise you with that tonight. I can tell you that being a part of the bus ministry is the most incredible thing you can be a part of with your life. I can tell you that. I've been a part of it. I've seen many lives changed. I'm married to one who's been a part of the bus ministry here. If God's working on your heart to be a part of the bus ministry, would you just try it?
Come on.
Would you try it?
Come on.
Would you say, oh, Lord, I'm willing. I'll jump right in.
Yep.
All right. I know I'm not normally like that. I know I don't normally do that kind of stuff. I know I sit over here and do this, and I have my area, and I know you've been trying to work on my heart, but, Lord, I'll try it. Hey. Would you do that tonight?
Yep.
I can tell you tonight that teaching a children's church, a junior church, has been one of the highlights of my week every week.
Amen.
For a while now. I can tell you that because I've done it. I've experienced it. I've seen God work and I've seen God use me, and it's humbling to see. But I can tell you that tonight. But if God's working on your heart tonight to jump in, to being a teacher, to helping in a class, you're not going to, if somebody is working on your heart and somebody is trying to tell you, hey man, you got to come and help in the junior church class, you got to help in this. They can tell you, and they can tell you all the stories and what's all going on in there and what God's doing in their heart and what God has blessed them with because of their service in that area. And they'll try to convince you to do it the same, but you'll never experience it. You'll never experience it until you try it.
Yep.
Until you do it for yourself, you will never experience it. The sad thing for many of the men might have heard this lady when she told everybody, not everybody probably came to see Jesus. Not everybody believed. Not everybody was willing to say, you know what, I'll believe you. What's this all about? You have to be willing to change some things in your life.
Right.
You have to be willing to say, God, all right, I know I'm normally like this. It's not my area. It's not very comfortable for me to do something like that. But I'll be willing. I'll be willing to change some things in my life.
That's right.
I can try to convince you about all these things, but you will never experience them for yourself until you try them. Do you want to be used of the Lord? David said when he was in fear, in those first verses in Psalms, he said, when I was in fear, the Lord delivered him. He delivered him. God knows that you're fearful. God knows that. And it's not a little thing. You know, if we were proud and boastful, I think about Gideon and when God called him to do what he wanted him to do, and then God told him, you know what, you gotta take some of the men. He said, there's too many men. Because he told him, if you take this many men, they'll pretty much boast on themselves. God doesn't want us to do that. And God knows we have fear, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. God wants us to put our faith and trust in him. And if you aren't fearful to do something for God and you just think you're hot stuff, right? That's not what God wants.
Right.
God ain't going to use that.
Right.
God wants somebody who's humble, who's fearful, and says, you know what? Fearful in a good way, right? God constantly over and over. You know why? He knows we're fearful. And Joshua over and over again, he told him, fear not, fear not, fear not, right? God knows we're fearful. And God wants to be there for you. He wants you to put your faith and trust in him. You got to trust him, though. You got to put everything into him, and God will use you. God wants to do something special with each and every one of us, but we have to be willing to try it.
Yep.
You have to be willing to say, all right, I'll let go. I'll try. God would have never used David if he didn't have that faith to kill Goliath. And many of those other stories that you think about in the Bible, those men that did something great for God, they stepped out because, you know what, it was, man, I don't know, this is crazy. If you read all those stories in the Bible, right, the men that did something crazy for God, you're just like, what in the world? How did they do that? Elijah stepping on that mountain and calling fire down from heaven. I mean, like, was he not fearful in that moment, right? All these men that did something great for God, they had to step out and say, Lord, this is not comfortable. This is not comfortable for me at all.
That's right.
And because they stepped out and said, all right, God, I will put you to the test.
Right.
I'll put you to the test because you said you'll do it. But I'm gonna let you do it.
Right.
You do that, and man, you'll be so amazed what God can do with a faith like that. I got quick three points, real quick. Number one, stop praying about it.
Come on.
Stop praying about it.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point. I know my wife said that's probably not a very good one. But I said, I get so sick and tired of hearing that idea where you get to, you know what you're supposed to do. You know what God wants you to do in your life. You know you're supposed to read your Bible. You don't need to pray about it. You know you're supposed to go to church. Stop praying about it. You know that God's calling you to work in a certain ministry. Stop praying about it and do it. Let God use you. And stop thinking that you have to keep telling everybody, yeah, I'm still praying about it. Just let God use you. And stop making excuses after excuses. Are you still waiting to go soul winning? Just go.
Yep.
Help on the bus route? Just go.
Yep.
Help in that Sunday school class? Just do it. Just try it.
Come on.
Go to Bible college? Just try it.
Hey.
God will change your life. Witness to your neighbor. Witness to your coworker. Volunteer to sing in choir. It'll change your life. Help with the church maintenance. Surrender to be a missionary. Surrender to do what God wants you to do. Do it. Just stop praying about it. Let God use you.
Yes.
Now, I think y'all understand what I mean by that.
Yes.
Prayer is a good thing and a wonderful thing, and we have to keep praying.
Yeah.
And there's a time and a place where we have to pray and ask God if things are what we're supposed to do in our life. Brother AJ had to pray about coming here, and God did that, and that was nobody else that worked in his life with that. But he had to pray. He had to ask God and beg God what he needed to do in that situation. And we understand that in those situations.
Right.
But I think you understand my heart in this.
Yes, sir. Hey, right.
Stop giving excuses to God.
Come on, right.
Stop giving excuses to your pastor,
right.
To those who are trying to help you in your life.
Right.
Stop making excuses and just do it.
Hey,
just let God use you.
Yeah.
You'll never regret it. And I promise you, you try it, it'll change your life.
Hey,
it'll change your life.
Hey.
Number two, give God a chance. Give God a chance. The only thing holding God back from doing something mighty in your life is you. It's just you. You get out of the way, and God can do something amazing. The only thing holding Jesus back when he came to this woman at the well, you know, the only thing holding Jesus back from doing something with her life, when she started questioning God, the only thing holding Jesus back was her doubt in who he was.
Yep, that's right. You're right.
When you read that, the only thing holding Jesus back was her doubt at first in who he was.
Yep, yeah, that's right.
She said, you know, like, who are you? You know, like, we know Jacob and we know these special men in the past, but like, who are you? Right?
Yeah.
She doubted who he was. Once she figured it out, there was nothing holding Jesus back.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Jesus was able to do something amazing in her life. Do you doubt who Jesus is in your life? You've seen him do it in other people's lives. You've seen him do it in your pastor's life. You've seen him do it, obviously, in the past 50 years in this church. Do you doubt what he can do in your life? Our younger generation needs to see young men in my age that will say, you know what, God, I'll let you do something special. And I'm thankful for the men that we've seen here preaching this week. Man, I've allowed God to do something amazing with their life. But I know there's someone here tonight that's not allowing God to fully work in their life. They're doubting. You're doubting God, and you're doubting if God can really use you. The devil is the one putting that doubt there.
You're right.
And I know that because I've experienced it myself. The devil is the one that wants you to doubt. He wants you to say, you know what? You're not that good. You can't teach a class. You can't preach. You can't go soul winning. You don't know your Bible very good. He puts so much doubt in us, and we get discouraged, and we get to a point where we just say, you know what? I can't do that. That's not me. Is that you tonight? Are you doubting who God is? Because I promise you, you stop doubting who God is, and God, man, he'll do something amazing in your life, and you'll stand back and you'll be like, oh my goodness.
Right.
How in the world was I able to be used in that manner? God wants to do something special in your life. We don't get to see with this woman at this well here how many converts were able to come from her.
Right.
From what she was able to do after she realized, whoa, this is Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. Hey.
Oh my goodness. Look what he can do. Hey. He's really talking about living water.
Hey.
And what she was able to figure out who Jesus, once she was able to figure out who he was, and she stopped doubting that, man, she was able to see God do something amazing.
Hey.
Are you doubting God tonight? You know, God requires, the only type of faith that God requires, we know this, is a mustard seed size of faith. You know, I'm in Indiana, so you guys know what seeds are and all that kind of stuff, so I'm not going to educate you at all. But a mustard seed is like really small, like really small. And I was telling my wife this, if we don't even have a mustard seed size of faith, which is all that God requires, you pretty much have no faith. You pretty much have no faith. If you don't have that small of a seed that of faith that God is requiring of you, you don't have any faith. God makes it so simple for us to have faith. He says, and I love what my brother-in-law preached the other night. Whatever your faith is in God, God's power will match that. Because all he requires is a mustard seed size of faith. If that's all you can give him, then God will use that.
Right.
And God will say, I'll do something amazing with that. Because guess what? When you're not the greatest, you know, prayer warrior in the world, and you don't have the most amazing faith in the world, and everybody knows that, man, God says, there's somebody I can use. Somebody that nobody thinks is very special. Nobody thinks I can use. I'm going to use that person. Just give God something that small.
Yep.
Say, you know what, God, I don't have much. I don't know what I can do. I don't know how much I can give you, but Lord, if I feel like you're calling me to do this, I have like this much faith, God, that you're going to do something with me. God says, I can do that.
Yep.
I can use that.
Hey.
And God wants to, and he will, and he'll change your life if you just say, I'll try this.
Yep.
Take the restraints off the Lord and let him do what only he can do. Number three and last, trust God knows what is best for your life. Trust that God knows what is best for your life.
Hey.
You pretty much will never understand God's plan. And you'll definitely never agree with his timing. But you can rest assured God is in control and you have no need to worry. If you put your life in his hands and say, God, I don't know what you have for me. I don't know why you're trying to change things up in my life because I've been doing this for so long and I don't know why you want me to do this. If you just say, God, I'll let you do it. All right. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. And I know many of you are servants of the Lord. You're doing something for the Lord, and you've been doing it for years. Maybe some of you haven't really got started yet. Maybe some of you have been going for just a little while. But we have all different backgrounds, and I know that sometimes we get stuck in a rut where we say, "God, that's not me. I don't do that."
Yeah.
And God doesn't want us to live like that.
Yeah.
God wants us to continue to say, "All right, God, whatever you have for me." It's amazing to see older people, older men, and their wives surrender and all of a sudden become missionaries. I'm just blown away by that. How they leave where they're at, or they give God, they say, all right, God, I'll be a missionary in their 70s. I don't understand it. But I look at that and I'm like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. They continue to say, God, I'll try it. My life, Lord, is yours to control. Anything you have me to do, Lord, I will do it. And they've never lost that. Have you lost that tonight? Are you still willing to try what God would want you to try? If you do, it'll change your life. If you do, it'll change your life. Would you give your life to him tonight, young people? Would you just say, Lord, my life, Lord, it's yours to control. Whatever you want me to do with my life, it's yours. Have you made that decision? Have you come to the Lord and said, God, I know I had this plan. I know I've been wanting to do this with my life, but Lord, I feel you calling me to do this. I know you want me to do this, and I've been fighting you. I've been fighting you and fighting you and fighting you. Are you willing tonight to say, God, I'm done with that. I will give up everything that I know to do what you want me to do. Would you make that decision tonight? That's you, young people, or anybody else. Would you say, I'm willing? I will try it, and I'll let God change my life. Is it something simple as saying, Lord, I've been scared to just say I'll go out soul winning. I'll let God use me and be a witness. Lord, tonight I'm going to make that decision. I will be a witness for you. I will get out of my comfort zone. I know it's not something I want to do or try at all. It's something I've been pushing off, saying, no, I don't do that. That's not me. Would you say tonight, Lord, I'm going to lay aside my fears. I'm going to just trust you, God. I'm going to do this. I promise you, you lay aside your fears. You let God have his way in your life. You say, I'll try it. All right, I'll try it. You hear that? You hear, Brother AJ? You're gonna have this ringing in your head now. You gotta try it. You gotta try it. It'll change your life.
Yeah.
Would you try it?
Yeah.
Whatever it is that God's laying on your heart, would you try it? I promise you tonight, you won't regret it.
Come on.
It'll change your life.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, I love you. We thank you for the thought tonight, Lord. And I thank you for using it in my own life, Lord, and just convicting my own heart. And the idea, Lord, of never getting in a rut where you just say, no, this is what I do, and I don't do that or this. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us tonight to say, God, whatever it is that you'd want me to do, that's what I'll do. I'm not going to get to a point where it's this is something that I just stuck in and I just do, and I don't do anything else. And I pray you'd help us to have that idea, Lord, in our life where we say, Lord, I'll try it. If this is what you want, I'll do it. And we love you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name.